Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
The paradigm as it is that people will wait until they have a loss of function that they are aware of, and that will affect their quality of life. And most people, when they lose brain function, a lot of times, the double-edged sword is they also lose awareness.
Oh, that's true.
So it's like they're losing function, but they're also losing awareness, so they're not really aware to the capacity that they've lost. And so then what ends up happening is they'll see a practitioner who's a specialist in something for that last capacity, and the practitioner may specialize in that area, but they may not understand the brain component and how that relates to their chief complaint. So the brain has been getting a lot of play now, but really, it's really often ignored because it masquerades as other conditions. You know what I mean?
That's very true. That makes a lot of sense. So, ideally, if someone is trying to prevent Alzheimer's, for example, how far in advance do you think we should start trying to encourage people to do these brain function tests and stuff?
Well, I think in a perfect world, you know, there are milestones, you know, and there's also a lot of research now starting to come out on preconception.
Right. You know? That's true.
It's like, I really think healthcare is primed for those that are interested for like a revolution of awareness to the point where a family can really plan and really decrease the probability that they express those genes that are in their family history for cancer, cardiovascular disease. And it's pretty interesting that, you know, a mom and dad can do blood work and screening, and they can be put on a map of risk factors for different types of conditions. And if they're expressing those genes when they procreate, then that child is going to be a little bit different genetic makeup than if they don't have those genes expressed when they procreate.
Right.
So, but then when the child is born, there's all these milestones that should happen on a optimal development sequence. They shouldn't be ahead and they shouldn't be behind.
Right.
Really. And, you know, those milestone assessments and getting, you know, routine blood work and all that stuff at a very early age. And also getting a cognitive function test at some point, you know, when they kind of reach a level of cognitive maturity.
Right.
As a baseline. So that if they ever do get a concussion, or they ever do start to lose function, or if they do have routine checkups in the future and do another baseline test, if they start to go south, then they can do something right away.
Because there's a comparison.
Yeah, the thing about the brain is that if a person's really high functioning and they have an injury, they may have symptoms for the first month or so, and then they feel like they're basically back to where they were. But the reality is they just had so much to give that other people just don't notice. But they notice it because they're just a little less sharp. They're just maybe a little bit slower. Their capacity to plan or organize maybe just a little bit less. And they can deal with it because that's what the brain does. The brain is the ultimate adapter. It doesn't really come back to homeostasis as much as it's just really good at adapting.
So,
in a roundabout way, I think to answer your question, I think, like, from the very beginning,
even with
preconception, with prenatal work, and then also when the child is born, looking at milestones, and then as an adult, getting routine baseline, or getting a baseline, and then getting routine checkups as a way of actual healthcare instead of, you know, crisis management.
Exactly. So, the cognitive function test that you were talking about, that would be like the baseline. What particular ones would you suggest on it?
You know, the Carrick Institute, the Carrick Brain Centers has one.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That they use, and I can get the name for you on that. I'm not doing that test right now. They have some technology that's really phenomenal. That measures eye movement in a way that can be quantifiable.
Oh.
And there's a name for the test. I can get that test for you.
Okay.
Right now, standard. There's a name for it, and that test, that's the standard, is kind of, it leaves a lot to be desired, because there are ways that, particularly, it's being used for ball players. You know, and they found a way to kind of sandbag the first test, so that if they ever do get a head injury, you know, and their performance is less, it doesn't show, because they don't want to miss playing time.
This is the players themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those tests are out there. I can get you the name of
Okay. that. Okay. That's very interesting. So it's not something that you're doing now, but ideally, is that the kind of practice that you'd like to do?
Yeah. Right now I'm working on a fellowship with the Carrick Institute on brain injury.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so.
Fantastic.
Say again?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So there's a part of that gets into. It's really focused on, you know, concussion management, you know, and kind of where all that's going. And, but then there's also discussion about other conditions, you know, related to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and stuff like that. And basically, the approach to every situation is the same, which is to remember that thing we talked about in class, which is the diagnostic level of the lesion.
Yes.
So it's really the same. It doesn't matter if it's a Parkinson's patient or a wellness visit or a concussion. What you want to do is go through it, figure out where the weak link in the system is, and then figure out if it's too much or too little, and then figure out if you can actually reset it, or if you have to start working with their compensation so they can just function better, you know?
So sometimes it's not possible to actually reset it because it's too far gone?
Yeah, sometimes it's gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So determining a functional problem versus an ablative problem is, you know, paramount when you're doing the workup. So that they can either, sometimes there's an ablative issue and they need to see a medical professional that can provide surgeries like tumor shrinking drugs or surgery.
Right.
Sometimes it's ablative and it's like, they just need to be aware that, you know, their goal of getting back to 100% function may be elusive, and that what we really need to work on is getting that compensation mechanism on full steam.
So that's the fellowship that you're doing there. So you're working with people who have concussions and post traumatic stress or like chronic traumatic encephalopathy and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, I work with a ton of people with PTSD right now. And concussions are becoming a bigger part of my practice as I work through this fellowship. I still have a ways to go on it. Yeah.
So they actually have a particular fellowship program in concussions and that type of thing?
Yeah, the Carrick Institute of Graduate Studies is putting on a traumatic brain injury fellowship program through the American College of Functional Neurology, I think.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Interesting. So are you working with sports figures and stuff too? Or?
They are. You know, I haven't had that opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, I know that Carrick is pretty famous right now for, like, you know, he was mentioned for helping Sidney Crosby, who is like this NHL MVP, get back on the ice.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
And numerous Olympians. Uh-huh. And I think they just finished their Celebrity Week, actually, at the Carrick Brain Center.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so, yeah, that's kind of we're all just trying to learn from Dr. Carrick right now.
Uh-huh.
And so he's practicing it right now, and we're learning from him, and we're working with people, but we're just trying to catch up to him, basically.
That makes sense. Yeah. Now, where is that located again?
Carrick Brain Center. There's one in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another one in Dallas.
I see. Okay.
And the Dallas one is really, I think they may have, I might not be right on this, but there was some talk. I think they may either are in the process of, or may have already been subsidied or have given a grant for research, because they're working with a lot of veterans there.
Uh-huh.
With PTSD, and they're just getting amazing results. And these are folks that have not responded to the traditional model in the VA hospital model.
Interesting. Know? Interesting.
And just getting amazing results. It's pretty cool. I check them out. CarrickBrainCenters.com.
Okay.
I can send you a link or if you email me.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds great. So for someone who hasn't had lots of even little or major traumatic injuries, the brain, the neck, or whiplash, and stuff like that. And they see if they're at a if they went through and they did a cognitive function test that was at a great baseline and everything. What kind of suggestions do you have to even make things better?
Well, you know, the brain has like a switchboard and a bunch of circuits, and you know, those are things that need to be evaluated to make sure everything is doing what it's supposed to do.
Right.
And then in addition to that, you know, like anything that runs on electricity, there is like the power source, you know, there's the chemistry.
Yes.
And so in any given case, there's either a primary chemistry issue.
Right.
Or a primary circuit issue. Right, so either the switchboard isn't doing what it's supposed to do because it's offline and we need to rewire it.
Right.
Or the chemistry is not right, and so the switchboard couldn't work even if it was wired up right.
Uh-huh.
You know? So I would say that the biggest thing is know your weakness.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a family history of celiac disease or gluten sensitivity,
uh-huh.
Or if you have a family history of diabetes or cardiovascular disease, then, you know, you got to pay attention to that a little bit and not wait till you get sick before you act.
So addressing those aspects is as key as any kind of supplementation regimen or something. I mean, like extra DHA or
yeah,
you know, those kind of things. Is that something that if someone is like, doing well, and like if they went through a complete program with you and they figured out you figured out what's going on with the switchboard and the primary chemistry, etc., are there things that you would do beyond that would be like a super brain regimen?
Yeah, so for folks that are balanced,
yeah,
biochemically and are you know, have their circuits all doing what they're supposed to do, and yeah, they're looking for peak performance.
Yeah.
You know, then it becomes a matter of assessing blood flow to the brain and, you know, neurotransmitter activity and how to support what they're doing. So,
right.
You know, people that are looking for peak performance, often they're put in stressful situations.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, cortisol is a hormone that can reduce blood flow to the part of the brain that really helps them process all the information they need to peak perform.
Uh-huh.
So managing that stress response, identifying other stressors that they may not be aware of and helping them manage them.
Uh-huh.
You know, like infection or that whole the leaky gut thing and bowel stuff and anemias and, you know, all those different hormonal concomitants. If they're there, then they could be competing for bandwidth when they're in that moment.
That's right.
And so if we can identify those as practitioners and help them manage them, then when the moment arrives, then they'll have more bandwidth to do what they need to do and put them at a better probability for success.
Oh, very interesting. So, what would be a sort of the, if you're creating a regimen for someone and how frequently they should come in to make sure that everything's tracking right, if they haven't had any like major injuries or anything in the meantime, how frequently would you say would be an ideal thing tracking like in your office?
You know, that's a great question, and it really is so variable based upon their activity level, their age, you know,
uh-huh.
Their pre-existing state, you know, if I actually help them get out of a crisis first.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Also, their predisposition for disease in their family.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for somebody that's doing really well,
yep.
You know, I like to get a blood work like every quarter or so.
Every quarter. Very good. Okay.
Kind of see how things are going.
Uh-huh.
Generally, if we find something, it's around 6 weeks to 2 months.
Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh.
But that being said, if they have an active infection, I might do a sooner blood work. If they have an anemia, I might do it sooner.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but if all is good, generally it's a easier visit because the exam comes back without anything that we really need to work with.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the chemistry, It's tricky because there's so much sugar everywhere and there's so much starch everywhere that tends to be one of the main things that kind of throws everything off. So often there's stuff that we need to kind of work with on blood work.
That makes sense. So sugar, starch, and less so issues of gluten or something, unless they have that sensitivity.
Yeah, you know, the gluten sensitivity, about 3 out of 4 people have that. So it's a big deal. But, you know, most people nowadays at least heard of it, and people that you've heard about athletes that have gone gluten-free, like Djokovic and the guy down in Dallas, and when he went gluten-free, you know, they won the NBA title. It's just kind of crazy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you know, some of these folks, they hear about gluten, they go gluten-free, and then they have an amazing year that year, you know?
Uh-huh. All right. Fascinating. Well, I appreciate your help so much. There's so much here. And so I'd like to get back to you in a week or so and just run tell you what quote I came up with.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Well, anything else I can do, just let me know. If you email me, I can try to find that link for you, the name of that baseline test.
Okay. I'll do that. And so it's I have your HTTP here, but for the Atlas-Health, and do I put your name in front of it?
You can just say josephsmithdc@gmail.com.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Anything else I can do, just let me know.
I appreciate that so much. Thanks.
All right, Jay.
Talk to you later. Thank you, too. Bye.
If you'd like to learn more about how to get an appointment with Dr. Shortian, please call the Redwood Clinic at 510-849-1176. And for information, go to theredwoodclinic.com. Thank you.